We're going to spend much of the afternoon talking about conflict and how to integrate it either internally or externally. And to do that, we're doing a little, what would I call it, a drill that you would typically never do in quite this way, but so that you have an experience of asking it. One of the things that we do when we are working with conflict is to find out the positive intention of each of the behaviors or each of the parts that we're dealing with in a conflict. And we've already been dealing with positive intention directly with six-step reframing. We were doing some with that, and it's come up in a number of different other times. But so that you know how to do it, we're going to do a drill. And again, this is not necessarily something that you would typically do in the world, but we're going to practice asking questions that get a meta outcome from someone.
That means clear.
Huh?
A meta
outcome is like the intention. Remember, in six-step reframe, we said separate the behavior from the intention. The way you do that is to find out what the person gets by doing the behavior. So the meta outcome is the outcome of the outcome. And we don't do anything without a purpose, typically. So there's a reason we do it. In psychology, I think it's partially referred to as secondary gain. Okay, does that make sense? So, and meta outcomes, just the way we ask it. You have some of these questions, most of these questions, in a handout in your notes, but I added a couple of others. These are all the different ways that you can ask and what, you know, to get the positive intention of what somebody is doing. So we're going to do it first for any positive outcome you might have. So you think of something you want, and we're going to ask these sets of questions until we've asked about 8 times. You're going to go 8 times. Our intent is to get to a core intention. So let me demonstrate. Somebody just come up with an outcome, and I'll show you how we do it. That you call out, Lance?
Fundraising for my nonprofit.
Okay, so you want to do fundraising for your nonprofit. And let me just ask them the way they're up here. And doing that fundraising for the nonprofit, Lance, what will that get for you?
It'll get more staff, you know, greater presence to the community.
Okay. More staff, greater presence to the community. Do you hear what I'm doing? I'm backtracking the answer. And how is that a value, having more staff and more presence in the community?
Having more staff means we'll be able to accomplish more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to focus on leadership as opposed to spreading myself out.
Okay.
All different departments.
Okay. Accomplish more and focus on leadership. Do you hear? I'm backtracking what he just said. And what's your goal in doing that?
Increase our presence to the global community and expand the number of events that we do.
Okay. Increase the presence in the global community and expand the number of events. And what will achieving that allow you to do or be or have?
That'll help us to become the go-to organization for technical support of our field.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you are able to accomplish that, be the go-to organization for technical support, what's important to you about that?
It'll provide professional development for this emerging community and also
professional development and reduce patient errors. And I'm really curious now. I'm, you know, I add some other extra. Really curious. What What's the importance of that? What's the value in that?
Reduce suffering and increase outcomes.
And you want all of that because?
Because that's the right thing to do.
Now, do you notice how we just stayed in the process and we get deeper and deeper? I mean, we go from staff development and some things like this to reducing patient error to increasing our global presence. And I could just keep going. And if you increase the global presence and you're able to get rid of the patient errors and all of that, what does that then allow you or others to be or do or have that's even more important?
More important than the reduce the suffering?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything more important than reducing the suffering?
Well, I'd say that's part of changing the world.
Oh, small thing. That's a part of changing the world. So you see, we go from specifics to much more general. Now, I could say to Lance, so one of the things you really want to do is change the world. And one way you've thought of doing that is through working with this nonprofit agency and doing what you're doing with that. Then we could say, I'll bet there are lots of other ways that you might think of how you could impact the world and reduce the suffering. And what it does is it expands the way someone is thinking. Now, do you hear how I did it? So somebody states something they want, you backtrack, you ask one of these questions. You backtrack, you ask one of these questions. You backtrack. You ask one of these questions. It doesn't matter what order you ask them in. It doesn't matter that you ask all of them. This is just all the different ways. Sometimes people say, I feel like a broken record if I'm saying, and what will having that get for you? But you could just ask that. You could just ask that. And when there is no more suffering left in the world, what is the value of that? Now, it's obvious to you, but you want to make sure that you are fully understanding what the other person is saying. So we go from small and one way of doing things, usually, to much more global, where you could have many more choices. And this is the tool we use for dealing with conflict. Finding out what is beneath the behaviors that people want or the outcomes that people want. So we're going to practice this first, and we're going to practice it first with something that you think is a positive or an enabling outcome. And then I'm going to ask you to practice it with something that you think wouldn't be positive, like somebody says, I'm going to start a riot in Oakland tomorrow. They did have one last night. Yeah, so somebody says, I want to start a riot in Oakland. Oh, well, you don't go, no, you can't do that. You say, oh, you want to start a riot? What would starting a riot in Oakland get for you? And you have to be curious, and you have to keep asking until you find out what's the core value that somebody is trying to express here. And that's what it is. It's the positive intention. Well, people would notice, you know. Somebody could say, I want to commit suicide. And our first, most of us, knee-jerk response would be to say, oh, no, you can't do that. Life is wonderful. Well, and yeah, what would killing yourself do for you? And you will be totally shocked if you role play that, what kind of answers you come out with.
Try it.
Or I want to drown all my kids. I want to annihilate the competition I mean, you know, to pick something negative like that, yeah, and have somebody role play it. This is so that you can notice what really happens when somebody validates by backtracking what you've said and asking you what, how that's of value or because, you know, what would having that get for you, etc. So find a partner, and this, again, is a drill. We're practicing asking these questions so you get familiar with backtracking and having one of these roll off your tongue, okay? Do it first with something that the person might be thinking they want, anything, to have a nice Christmas, to throw a really great party, to, you know, anything. Ask the questions at least 8 times to notice how you get to a core and what it feels like inside you when you have to think answers through in that way.
So are you saying ask like at least 8 of these in different ways?
That's right. Ask at least 8 times. Not go through the whole list of 8. You could do that, but you might get to such a big, fluffy something or other, you wouldn't know where you were. Okay, one positive, one less positive, okay?